in complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I would ask your prayerful attention this afternoon to a verse in the first book of Samuel, and chapter 3, and verse 18. The first book of Samuel, chapter 3, and the last clause of verse 18. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." And he said, that's Eli, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." The circumstances in Israel were very, very difficult and ungodly, especially regarding the worship of God. There were also the days of the judges, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. The Ark of God and the tabernacle was at Shiloh, where it had been pitched after the children of Israel came into the promised land from the wilderness. And the priesthood had continued, and he'd come down to this one from Aaron whose name was Eli. Now there's no doubt Eli was a godly man, one who feared God. We read of him when Hannah came into the temple, into the tabernacle at the time of the sacrifice, and prayed unto the Lord for a man-child. And we know that Hannah was so burdened that she went and prayed, only her lips moved. No words came out from her lips. And Eli thought that she was drunken, and he spake harshly to Hannah to put away wine from her. Hannah answered and said, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Oh, Eli knew what that meant. He said, "Go in peace. And the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." But Eli had a weakness. He did not control his sons. His sons were also priests, and they did that which was evil at the door of the tabernacle, even fornication. And the Lord spoke to Eli concerning this, and Eli spoke to his sons, but he didn't stop them from doing those things. You know, sometimes, dear friends, just words of reproof from parents to children, they don't always have the great effect, do they? Sometimes further action has to be taken, but Eli did not take any further action. And even though a man of God, a prophet, which the Lord sent to Eli, told him that his sons would die, Eli still did not reprove them any further. That son which was born to Hannah, after 3 or 4 years, was brought to the tabernacle, to Shiloh, for Hannah had promised to give him unto Eli, to serve the temple all the days of his life. Oh, what a sacrifice for her, in answer to her vow. She was a godly woman, wasn't she? And the Lord appeared unto Samuel, and told him what he would do to the house of Eli. The Lord said, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears and every one that heareth it shall tingle. And Samuel feared to tell Eli what the Lord had said. But Eli said, what is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? Pray thee, hide it not from thee. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he, that's Eli, said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, dear friends, that wasn't an easy, natural answer from Eli's natural self, was it? It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He was to lose his sons. He was to lose the continuation of the priesthood on account of his sin. Let him do what seemeth him good. You know, dear friends, this was humility. This was submission to the will of God. Dear friends, how often do we find that hard? Oh yes, here was a time of chastening for Eli. And even before it had come to pass, but he knew what was going to come to pass, solemn things. Let God do what seemeth him good. That's humble submission, isn't it? Dear friends, it's the Spirit of Christ. When Christ was in Gethsemane, there, sweating great drops of blood, pleading with the Father, that if it were possible, let this cup pass from me, as he was to suffer for his people's sake. Yet not my will, but thine be done. Thine be done. Submission. Dear friends, that's the Spirit of Christ that searches us out, doesn't it? Are we submissive to the Lord's will? Can we pray these same prayers, say these same words, especially when things go against us? Things may be bringing us into great fear and trepidation. Well, dear friends, these are words not spoken by anybody. These words are spoken by those who fear God. Eli was a man who feared God. And fear, dear friends, the fear of the Lord doesn't cause us to run away from God. The fear of man will make us run away from an enemy in fear. But the fear of the Lord draws us to him. Because we know that he is almighty. He is the judge of the whole earth. And we need his help. We need his grace. We need his mercy. The fear of the Lord draws us to Christ. Draws us to God. And we humble ourselves there. Under his gracious hand. But solemn hand at times. For our times are in his hand. And all things are at his command. Whom he loves, he chastens. Oh, dear friends, all our times are in the Lord's hand, aren't they? Those things which are good, those things which are bad. We all pass through changing scenes of life, troubles and joys. Is this our prayer? If we fear God, it will be our prayer. It is the Lord. In those matters we can't understand. In those matters which are difficult for us to agree to, and we've got no control over changing what's going to happen and taking place. Things seem to be so wrong. We can think of better things, completely different things. But submission to the Lord, committing it unto him in prayer, in faith, in humility, in submission. Casting our care upon him, Lord. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Let him do what seemeth him good. Well, dear friends, do we fear the Lord? Does the fear of the Lord, his judgment, his majesty, oh, the ruler of all the heavens and the earth, his goodness and his mercy, the gift of his Son for the saving of our souls, does it draw us to him? For only in him is our safety, our peace. For him to lead us forth by the right way, that we may in the end come to a city of habitation, a place prepared in heaven for all his people. Oh, that's to be our humility under the hand of God, in whatever he may bring in our pathway. He knows the way we take. He calls us into the way we take. He constrains us in the way we take. In fact, we're to commit our way unto him. Trust also in him, for him to bring to pass which is for our good. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Sometimes, dear friends, difficulties go on for a long time, don't they? And we wonder why. What does Paul say? Tribulation worketh patience to those that fear God. Patience, experience. Experience, hope. Oh, as we trust in him and commit it unto him, all these things that concern us. And then he goes on to speak of hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost given to us. Dear friends, that love of God in our heart engenders that fear, doesn't it? Draws us to him for our soul's salvation. Committing unto him all things, for he has promised to supply our need. And we need those things supplied for the good of our soul, for the experience in our lives. Those tribulations, those trials to hold in a looser way the things of this earth. So we hold faster to the things of God and of Christ and the pardon of our sins. Or to be one with Jesus. Dear friends, our lives, those who fear God, they're for our teaching, they're for our learning. What does Paul say? I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Contentment. Dear friends, that's the outcome of this, even though the outcome physically may be sorrow. But to content is to know that his grace is sufficient for us, that we are his and he is ours, and nothing can separate us from his love. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. I suppose a commentary upon this is that of Joseph. What a mysterious path Joseph had to go in. Dear friends, he was obeying his father, Jacob, to go and see his brethren. But when they saw him, because of their anger toward him, they sought to slay him. The Lord prevented them from slaying him, but they sold him to the Ishmaelites, who happened to be passing that way. Now, nothing happens by chance. And poor Joseph had to go all those way, no doubt by foot, in shackles, all those hundreds of miles down to Egypt, only to be sold as a slave. Dear friends, one wonders what was going on in the heart of a Joseph. Could he say, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good? We know he behaved himself wisely. Now under temptation with Potiphar's wife, oh, he did not succumb to her seductions, did he? But he caused him to be cast into prison because her husband believed her lies. And those prisons in Egypt, dear friends, they were dreadful places. And he was there for a few years. But there he conducted himself wisely also. You know, the fear of the Lord was in Joseph. He'd had a word from the Lord, hadn't he, concerning that which would come to pass, and he did not know how. That his brothers would bow down to him when he had that vision of the sheaves in the field, and the sheaves of his brothers, they bowed down to his sheaf. So was the anger of his brothers against him, that he would lift himself up above them. You know, dear friends, if there's a word from the Lord, none of us know how it's going to be worked out, do we? But it is the Lord, and we must let him do as seemeth him good, even though it may bring us into difficult paths, paths which we cannot understand, even physical suffering, sickness, pain, bereavement. Oh, lots of terrible things can happen in our daily lives, can't they? Poverty, troubles with others, enmities rising against us. But you know, dear friends, those who fear God and commit their way unto him, they will prove that the Lord will have the last say. He will fight their battles for them. He will bring to pass that which is of his sovereign will. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. If we try to put our hands to it without any prayerful consideration, then oh, without another direction from the Lord, we shall go wrong and the thing will get worse. But the time came, didn't it, when Pharaoh had that dream. Oh, Joseph in the prisoner thought he was soon going to be released when he interpreted the dream of the butler. That the butler, having been put in prison by the king, he would soon be returned. And Joseph said, make mention of me to the king. But he forgot all about it. He was so pleased of being released and so in the joy of his release and being restored as the king's butler. He never thought any more about Joseph. Until Pharaoh himself had a dream. Dear friends, these things were in the Lord's hand, weren't they? Nothing happens by chance, and the butler told him of Joseph. They fetched Joseph. And the Lord, in the spirit of wisdom, gave Joseph to interpret that dream which the king had. And through that interpretation, he was put second in command in Egypt. Command of the 7 years of famine, following the 7 years of plenty. And everyone was submissive unto Joseph in Egypt for their food. And so his brothers came down. Oh, dear friends, what a coming that was. Joseph knew them. They didn't know him. But Joseph began to see what was taking place. When he revealed himself to his brothers on the second occasion, they came down for food. He said, it wasn't you that sold me into Egypt. It was the Lord. The Lord hath sent me before you to preserve you alive in the time of famine. Oh, you can come down here. I will feed you. I will give you the land of Goshen. All your needs will be supplied, and it was going to be freely supplied, where all the Egyptians had to pay for their food. Joseph gave to his brethren and his father freely. All things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Dear friends, that was the beginning also of the word of God, which he spoke to Abraham, that the sons of Jacob would be subject in a foreign land for 400 years before they would come to the promised land. Oh, dear friends, the mysterious ways of God, the word of God. But what the Lord has spoken, dear friends, it will surely come to pass. But the way in which it will come to pass is past our understanding. He brings us humbly, doesn't he? Prayerfully humble. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good, to work out his purposes, believing that, oh, he will never leave us nor forsake us. His promise is true, he will supply our need. He will never grant to us the submission whilst we trust in him to be overcome by our enemies. Dear friends, what mysterious pathways do you have at the moment? Things which seem to be going completely contrary to what you want. Has there been any word from the Lord? Have you been praying? Has he seemed to indicate to you an answer? Then, dear friends, if there's a word from the Lord, it will be fulfilled. But how it is fulfilled, dear friends, will be completely in his control. And it will be mysterious to us. But it'll be a way that in the end we shall glorify him for it. Joseph glorified God, didn't he? His brothers glorified God. His father glorified God. Dear friends, only the Lord could bring to pass such a work like that. Dear friends, let us come more closely to ourselves. What is it regarding our souls? Is there any word from the Lord? Then, dear friends, we are bought with a price. If we've been shown our sins and our sins are forgiven, if we've been brought to submit unto the Lord, forgiveness, pardon, and for his peace, if we've pleaded to be brought into that narrow way which leads unto life eternal. Oh, when that blessing comes, all we can say, it is the Lord. It's not our work, is it? It's his sovereign grace over sin abounding. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. You're bought with a price now. You're not your own. You're to obey his will, obey his voice, do that which he would have use of you. It may be some small way, it may be some great way. Or what about the Apostle Paul or Saul of Tarsus? In that day when he was called out of nature's darkness, an unbeliever, haters of the things of Christ and the people of Christ, seeking to slay them, take them to prison. Oh, the Lord met with him on that Damascus road. And that was the completely change, wasn't it, of Saul of Tarsus. He left Damascus some short while after saying, Jesus is the Son of God. Whereas Saul of Tarsus in Jerusalem, oh, Jesus was an imposter. He was an adulterer, spiritually. He cast out devils by the prince of the devils. But now he is the Son of God. And what was Saul's prayer? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What wilt thou have me to do? It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, dear friends, you who have been called by grace, you who know the love of the Lord towards you, you who've testified and can testify, if only you would be set at liberty to do so, that the Lord has been merciful unto you. Let the Lord, let him do as seemeth him good. He may have to chasten you for not declaring his goodness. He may have to chasten you for rebelling against his will. I know what that is. Oh, when he called me to the ministry, I rebelled against it. Dear friends, he's chastening. His chastening was Saul, as you know, my redundancy and other things. But dear friends, when the power of the Spirit returned, oh, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. And we've had to trust in him at all times, in all places, in all cases since. Because it's not by our own strength. It's not by our own will. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But dear friends, it's a sweet place to be submissive to his will and see his working out that which is for the glory of his name. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. Well, dear friends, I leave it with you to search your hearts. How does this word apply to you this afternoon? It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. What a mercy if you've been humbled before him, like Eli was. What a mercy if you've come to know your sins, like Eli did. What a mercy if you've been made submissive to his will in the Spirit of Christ. For if we've not the Spirit of Christ, we are none of his. That's a solemn word. Well, let me come to the portion I read this afternoon concerning David. Dear friends, in our daily lives, we have many thoughts, we have many feelings, we have many ideas. We have many preferences, and we devise our way before us, don't we? And some of them are good. Oh, David desired a good way, as we would say in our understanding. David had been brought through the trials of being chased by Saul, King Saul, and he'd been brought to be king now of Israel. And there was the time when the Lord had made him to have peace with all his enemies round about. Oh, how he succeeded, warfare after warfare. The Lord was with him. And David had fetched the ark, which had been lost in the times of Eli, when Eli's sons were killed in that battle with the Philistines. And the ark of God had abode in the fields since then, and then been fetched up from the place of Obed-Edom, and that wasn't without difficulties, was it? Oh, how the Lord's way had to be worked out fully. They tried to put the ark on a cart. The cart shook. Man, offer, wasn't it, put his hand to the cart. And he was killed, he died immediately. Because that ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the priests. It wasn't to be transported any other way. Oh, dear friends, let us tremble at the word of God and sinning before God. They fetched it up again, carrying it as they should into Jerusalem, into the place where David had prepared for it. And David sat down and said, I've got a house of cedar. A luxurious house, he would say at that time. But the ark of God dwelleth in tents, just in a material enclosure. He wanted to build a house of cedar for God. He wanted to do that which was for the glory of God, as he thought. And there was nothing wrong with that, was there? But, dear friends, it was not the will of God. He didn't ask the Lord, did he? He didn't pray unto the Lord to say, Lord, shall I build thee a house? Where shall I build it? No. David was left at that time to go away in his own understanding. But, dear friends, we must be very cautious of that. There may be things we think ought to be done. Yes, for the benefit of the church. For the benefit, we might say, for the glory of God. And nothing sinful or evil about it in its outward form. But is it the will of God? Is it his purpose that we should do such a thing? Or we have to commit our way unto the Lord at all times, don't we? Trust in him at all times. Well, God sent Nathan back to David. Because Nathan had said to David, go and do all that is in thine heart, for the Lord is with thee. Well, the evidence was there. In fact, we have to be so careful then, don't we, not left to our own ways. Thinking the Lord is with us in whatever we do. No. We must seek the Lord's will at all times. And Nathan was told by God that David would not build him a house, but a son of David would build him a house. That when thy days be fulfilled and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, dear friends, that's a most mysterious verse. The way the Lord works is certainly not as we could understand or think or imagine. David had many sons, he had many wives, and he had sons of each one. But here, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, which one was yet to be born. Now the one that was to be born after this time was David's son. Well, he had a son first of all, he had two sons, of Bathsheba, with whom he committed adultery, and whose husband he murdered, through making sure he was in the forefront of the battle. It was great sin of David, of adultery, that this Solomon, who was the second son, was to be born. And this second son to be born unto Bathsheba, the Lord called him Jedidiah, the beloved of the Lord. All his ways are past finding out, aren't they? We would say, well, through David's sin of Bathsheba, no good could ever come out of that. David was fit to be judged to hellfire. He was guilty under the law. And he could only die in condemnation because of it. But David was a child of God. He was a vessel of the Lord's mercy. Here we see the depth of the Lord's mercy to David. But in spite of his sin, and David acknowledging his guilt, not until David acknowledged his guilt, notice that. When David poured out his heart in humble confession, oh, the one who has done this thing, Nathan's prophecy to parable to him of the ewe lamb. The man who hath done this thing shall surely die. David, thou art the man. The Lord had given him all these things. He'd given him peace for all his enemies. He had a house of cedar. He had his wives. He had his children. And yet David was not satisfied, was he? Oh, the man hath done this thing shall surely die. Thou art the man. But the Lord pardoned David. Oh, there we see, don't we, the grace of God. That where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. David was brought to pour out his heart before God. And the Lord said, I've put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And dear friends, through the passage of that sin, and David taking Bathsheba to be his wife, the blessing of the Lord followed with the fulfilling of his promise. That which shall proceed out of thy bowels, I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. You know, dear friends, when we have circumstances, and they seem to be all completely different to the way we think things are going to work out, we perhaps see others, affected by things, and we judge them. Oh, that's gone wrong. Well, that's the wrath of God upon them for doing that. They get into trouble. Oh, well, they've done this, they've done that, they've said this. We're ready to judge, aren't we? Who knows what the Lord may be using or doing for the furtherance of his divine purposes. Oh, what teaching there was here to David. David suffered, didn't he, for his sin? Yes. David suffered for his sin in that all his other sons and his previous daughters, they of his house, oh, they never had peace anymore. There was trouble in the family until David's death. Although my house be not so with God, but the Lord had made with him an everlasting covenant. There was two covenants he was referring to. One was the covenant of the continuation of his house through the one who was to be born, Solomon. And through Solomon there was to be the continuation of the kings. And dear friends, the other covenant was that I have put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Oh, what a covenant. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, dear friends, let me not continue and overstress these things. But dear friends, it humbles us before God, doesn't it? If the Lord has begun a good work in you, he will perform it unto the day of your death, until Christ comes again. He will do what is good. He will do what is right in his sight for you. It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. He leadeth forth by the right way, that we may come to a city of habitation. It will be for our spiritual good. Oh, David's spiritual good, dear friends, there was, he saw the faithfulness of God in what he had promised, what he had spoken. And dear friends, if the Lord has spoken to you the pardon of your sins, then it will be performed. In spite of many things that may come in the pathway to give you doubts and fears, difficulties. Oh, if I was a child of God, it would not be like this. It is the Lord. Your times are in his hand. None can pluck you out of the Father's hand. None can pluck you out of Christ's hand. Nothing can separate you from his love. He will bring you down to everlasting peace. And dear friends, cast upon him all your care. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. How do we cast our care upon him? Our prayers, supplications, humbly at the throne of grace, with thanksgiving, oh, that he is a God of all grace and of love immense, and free his favours to dispense, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall rule your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Oh, what a truth that is. Then, dear friends, humble yourself under all these things, calling upon him in the day of trouble, yes. He will deliver thee in the way that he will deliver, not in the way we think we're going to be delivered. Our times are in his hand, and we shall glorify him. It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. Oh, may we so be submissive to the Lord's hand, to the Lord's will. And may we prove that at the end of our days, he hath done all things well. Amen.